Welcome to the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and I will be with you for the next hour. In the first half hour today, I will be talking with Dr. Jason Rowe, Professor of Physics and Astronomy at Bishop's University, and also the Research Chair in Exoplanet Astrophysics. Dr. Rowe and a team of astronomers recently discovered some information on a particular exoplanet. In the second half hour, I will be talking with a very talented local artist, Trevor McKinven from North Hatley. I will also have some announcements for community events, some health news, and some music. We will start the show with a song by Coldplay, A Sky Full of Stars, and right after that, we will hear the interview I did with Dr. Jason Rowe.
Cause you're a sky full of stars. I'm gonna give you my heart. Cause you're a sky full of stars. Cause you light up the path.
Maureen Dillon Teasdale for theCUBE, and today we're very pleased and honored to welcome Dr. Jason Rowe. He's a professor of physics and astronomy at Bishop's University, and he's also the Canada Research Chair in Exoplanet Astrophysics. So welcome, Dr. Rowe.
Great to talk to you.
It's great to
have
you.
Pleasure to be
Now, recently you had some very exciting research, so would you like to tell us about that in exoplanets?
Sure. So, as you mentioned in the beginning, my research is in exoplanet astrophysics. So, the research that we've recently presented and had accepted into publication is observations of a Saturn mass planet in orbit around a distant star, where we use the James Webb Space Telescope to measure properties of its atmosphere. And we were able to detect molecules such as water and carbon dioxide.
Okay, that's very interesting. Now, how many were on your team and how did you go about it?
Well, the team is quite large. I don't have the specific number off the top of my head, but it's probably a couple dozen people. It involves researchers here at Bishop's University, researchers at McGill and University of Montreal, as well as researchers across the country, as well as some international partners as well. So it was a large team.
Okay. Now, an exoplanet is basically, as I understand, planets outside our solar system?
That's right. So an exoplanet is what you think it is. If you go outside on a clear night and you see a star in a nighttime sky, we now know that that star you're looking at very likely has a planet in orbit around it, just like the planets in our solar system.
Okay, that's fascinating. So tell us about the research. How many months was it on and how some things you discovered from it?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you use the James Webb Space Telescope, is you get a small allocation of time. So in this case, we observed this particular star that has the name HAT P18. To observe the planet around it called HAT P18b. We observed with the James Webb Space Telescope for about a day, and then we used those observations to watch the planet transit its host star. When the planet transits, it blocks out a little bit of light that comes from us from the star that makes the star appear a bit fainter. By measuring how much light is blocked by the planet, we can figure out how big the planet is. So what the James Webb Space Telescope allows us to do is make those measurements as a function of wavelength. So for instance, does the planet appear bigger with red light compared to, say, blue light? And that difference tells us specifically what the atmosphere is made out of. So that's how we were able to now use the James Webb Space Telescope, look at HAT P18b, and detect the presence of molecules such as water and carbon dioxide.
Okay. Now, Canada has actually made a lot of advancement in the infrastructure in the Expo Planetary Science. Is that true?
Yes, it is. So a while back, over a decade ago, Canada and the Canadian Space Agency made a significant investment into the James Webb Space Telescope project. Canada produced one of the four major instruments that are on board. It's a spectrograph. And for contribution of that spectrograph to the James Webb Space Telescope, Canadian scientists like myself get access to those observations. So we're now getting the first results and now the return on investment and being able to present the interesting observations from these exoplanets to the general public.
Now, in your research, have you found anything that's similar to Earth where life could be possible?
Yeah, that's the big question everyone always wants to know, right? Mm-hmm. Have you found the Earth-like planet yet? And it's going to take time. So the answer right now is no, but it doesn't mean it's not that far away. So the program that I'm a part of for the James Webb Space Telescope is going to look at a whole bunch of different types of planets. We're going to look at planets that are the size of Jupiter. We're going to look at planets that are the size of Saturn, Neptune, as well as some planets that may indeed be Earth-like. So, but measuring the atmosphere around an Earth-sized planet is exceedingly difficult, and it's going to take many years of follow-up observations before we get into that regime where we can say something interesting. We've done our first round with this. We observed the so-called TRAPPIST system, and we were not able to detect atmospheric signatures, but the results are encouraging that says maybe within the next 5 to 10 years, with continued follow-up from the James Webb Space Telescope, we might have something interesting to say about it. Okay. So in the grand perspective, we go, we're the first generation of humans that have access to both technology and the know-how to make these observations and then ask, is this an Earth-like planet? So for that one, I would say stay tuned.
Okay, we're living in a very exciting age, actually. Now, any surprises on the recent research you did?
Yeah, every time you get new observations with a new new observatory on a new target, there's always going to be something new that shows up. In the case of HAT-P18, it turns out that this star, like our sun, has star spots. And star spots will make the surface kind of variable, or which can complicate our measurements when you're doing a transit. So in the case of watching transit of HAT-P18b, is when it did its transit, it actually crossed one of the star spots on the star HAT-P18. When it crosses the star spot, that means the shadow that we see from the transit gets diluted, and it kind of distorted the signal we were measuring. So a big part of the work that was done for this study was to figure out how to disentangle the effects of star spots from the transiting planet, and then allow us to conclude that, yes, indeed, we're seeing these types of molecules in the surface. So that was partially why the study is important, of demonstrating how to do it, and then also showing that as instruments become more accurate and more powerful, some things that you may not have considered before suddenly become more important.
About how expensive is it to do research like this?
So the numbers can get really big really fast. But so if you think about the James Webb Space Telescope itself, it is usually commented it's a $9 billion project. But to take that number and put it in a bit of perspective, this is funding that has been invested in people doing high caliber research that then produces the instrument that we launched into space. So most of that investment is towards training of people, of giving them highly qualified skill sets that turn around and then increase our capacity for doing high tech, for instance. So the Canadian side of the investment was around $200 million. And again, the majority of that funding went into providing jobs for people in the high tech industry, right? So working at the Canadian Space Agency, working at the universities, working at local industry based here in Quebec that produce the optics and produce the parts that go into the instrument. And then afterwards, when the data shows up, you know, there's additional funding that goes into now training students, right? That taking people from here in the region in the Eastern Townships, getting them into the universities and allowing them to actually work directly with James Webb observation and learning about planets around distant stars. So the numbers sound big, but in reality, these have been diluted over like 20 plus years, and now we're getting the outcome from it, which is, again, benefits right here in our backyard of us working on this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely fascinating, fascinating research. If somebody wants to find out more about exoplanets, do you have any websites or books or anything that people might have access to?
Yeah, so there's a number of resources that if people want to learn more about it. One is that they can go on the UBishop's website, where we publish the press release, for instance, that goes with the recent announcement that we have today, including links to the scientific paper that we published. Bishop's is also part of an association of Quebec astronomers known as CRAC, so it's Research and Astronomy in Quebec. They can go to that website as well to learn about this discovery, as well as all the astrophysics that's happening in the Quebec region. They're also welcome to reach out to me directly if they have questions about the research as well, right? We're a very community-focused university, and so if people want to learn more about exoplanets, that's why we're here.
Okay, it's wonderful. Now, what's your opinion of life on other planets?
Yeah, so I get that a lot, of my opinion essentially, are we alone in the universe question?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll state that by just simply stating at the moment that there is no scientific evidence of life beyond what is here on the Earth, right? There's been lots of searches, say, on Mars and looking at other places in the solar system, as well as doing searches around planets around distant stars. So far, we haven't found anything. But that doesn't really mean much at the moment, because the numbers are fascinating in the sense that you go outside and you see thousands of stars, which is just a small number of the billions of stars that exist in our Milky Way galaxy. Research done over about the last 10 years has demonstrated that every single star that you look at in the nighttime sky likely has a system of planets around it. And at least one of those planets is likely to be about the size of the Earth. So the number of planets that may resemble the Earth is a big number, like billions of them likely exist in the Milky Way galaxy. Whether any of them develop right conditions that allows life to then sort of present itself, that's the big question, right? That's the hard one. And we're hoping that maybe in the next 10 years that we can scientifically maybe answer that question. So if I were to ask my opinion of the, in my opinion, you know, are we alone in the universe? It's hard to really give that because, again, there's so many places to look for it. So it's asking, like, could we really be the only thing out there? And that's really what I think drives me to go out and try to examine and study as many of these systems as we can to try to figure out not only is there any sense, any evidence of biology there, but to then figure out what are the pathways that lead to the emergence of Earth-like worlds. Is the Earth unique in its history of how it evolved, or is it something that is a natural consequence of the way our universe works? And we're getting there, right? Having access to James Webb Space Telescope certainly helps a lot in our ability to answer that big, hard question. So it's a stay tuned, excitingly.
Okay, that's very interesting. Anything else you'd like to add before we go, Dr. Rowe?
Oh, no, other than to say, like, thank you to CJMQ for everything they give to the community. Always a pleasure to help out and to do interviews such as this.
Oh, thank you so much, and we hope to hear from you again soon. Thanks again.
All right.
Okay.
Take care.
And next up, we have some community events for you. At the Museum of Nature and Science, located on Frontenac Street in Sherbrooke, they have a new exhibit. It's called Histoire de Pêche, the History of Fishing, and that starts on January 25th and goes through until September 25th. Also coming up at the Bone Museum out in Quaticook, a couple of really interesting exhibits coming up. And that starts on January 28th. The public is invited to Vernissage. Stephanie Laurent's current artistic approach focuses on abstract and organic creations where natural shapes and vibrant colors mingle in order to create compositions rich in textures and contrasts. Now, the exhibit brings together circular creations on wooden boards and watercolor paper. The circle is a very powerful shape that can have calming effects on the body and mind, so that's very interesting in art therapy. The circle is often used to help reduce anxiety and stress. Creating circles can help slow the heart rate, improve breathing, and calm the mind. The artist therefore invites viewers to enter inside the painting and to concentrate on the enveloping and centric effect of the form itself rather than on their thoughts of everyday life that is often hectic. Now, created by nature, Stephanie Laurent has been painting and drawing since a young age, and after college and university studies in visual arts, she developed her own practice as a professional artist, mixing colored pencil drawings with acrylic or watercolor paint. So that comes up on the 28th at the Bone Museum. That exhibit runs until March 10, 2024. Public is invited to the Vernissage Sunday, January 28th at 2 p.m. And they also have another one coming up at Bone Museum. So it's very interesting out there. If you get a chance, make it out there. Okay, the other one is by the artist Patricia LaPointe. That also starts on January 28th and runs until March 10th. And her exhibit is Dans mon jardin hiver, so in my winter garden. The grand opening, again taking place on January 28th, the public is invited. Done with acrylic paint, Patricia LaPointe's art is a celebration of life through the use of vibrant colors. She explores fauna, flora, as well as physical characters in her artistic expression. By creating unique scenes, she invites spectators to lose themselves in a vibrant garden where pleasure is guaranteed. So what better exhibit for January than this? The exhibit features around 20 paintings created in a variety of formats, ranging from small easel paintings to larger canvases that dominate the space, a tribute to the beauty of nature and the characters who inhabit it. So two great exhibits coming up at the Bohl Museum and the Vernissage on the 28th at 2 p.m. The public is invited. And also a reminder from some of the other events and activities coming up here in the townships. The Valentine Tea, yes, starting to think about Valentine's Day. They are having a high tea out at the Colby Curtis Museum out in the Stansted area. The Valentine High Tea will be held on February 11th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. or 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. It's $40 a person. You need to RSVP by February 5th. The email info@colbycurtis.ca, and allergy-friendly options are available, but you must RSVP ahead of time. Now, let's see, the bingo coming up. The Sunnyside Parents Participation Organization currently accepting donations for their upcoming annual bingo. The events will be used as prizes for the bingo winners. Items can be dropped off at Sunnyside Elementary School, located at 441 Dufferin Street in Stansted, or you can contact the PPO at sunnysideppo@gmail.com to arrange for a pickup. Now, the bingo itself will be held at the Sunnyside Gymnasium Saturday, February 17th. Doors open at 12 noon. Games start at 1 p.m. And also a concession stand will be available on site with refreshments available for purchase. And the Hugs campaign still going on, trying to help the homeless people during this winter. Now, the campaign itself, just a reminder, they accept donations of new hats, underwear, gloves, socks, scarves, and other warm articles of clothing. Their greatest need is for warm, comfortable, larger, neutral colors of clothing, particularly for men. They accept toiletries also, such as shampoo, soap, toothbrushes, deodorants, etc. Items can be dropped off directly at their office in their beige bins next to door number 2, at 3355 College Street in Lennoxville. Or if you prefer them to do the shopping for you, you can write a check, and all monetary gifts are used to purchase essentials. You can also call to schedule an in-person drop-off of items or checks. Please make your checks payable to Mental Health Estuary and indicate Hugs on the memo line. So they have an email, also a phone number. The phone number is 819-565-3777, or you can email them projects@mentalhealthestuary.com. And if you belong to a nonprofit organization, or if you know of one and they have an event coming up, we'd love to do an interview with them. Please give me an email, cjmqnews@yahoo.ca or cjmqnews@gmail.com. And if you have an event coming up, please send me an email in as few words as possible, and we'll be happy to get it on air. So that's it for the community events today.
I would again like to thank Dr. Jason Rowe for the interview. Very fascinating information. I will be speaking with Trevor McKinven about his art in the second half hour today, so please stay tuned. We will hear a word from a few of our sponsors and the news with Derek Bullard. We will close the first half hour today with Counting Stars by One Republic.
Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars. Like a swinging vine, swing my heart across the line. In my face is flashing signs. Seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. I feel something so right. Doing the wrong thing. And I feel something so wrong. Doing the right thing. I could lie, could lie, could. makes me feel alive. Baby, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Burn down this river every turn. Hope is our four-letter word. Make that money, watch it burn. Oh, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. And I feel something so wrong. We're doing the right thing. I could lie, could lie, could lie. Everything that drowns me makes me wanna fly. Baby, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Makes me feel alive. Baby, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we.